David Madeira on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back. It's 8:48 on The David Madeira Show. Earlier last week, or was it this week? I can't even remember. I guess it was last week. The Department of Justice released a report on Ferguson. The biggest non-surprise of the report was the part that said that Officer Darren Wilson behaved in a way that was consistent with the challenges that he faced. In fact, many of the folks who gave testimony in the case said that had they been in his shoes, people who saw the incident said had they been in his shoes, they would have fired sooner. But there was a second narrative that was a part of that report, and it was primarily developed in order to give cover to the Department of Justice for its interference in what I think would have been just a local matter if race hadn't been involved. And that said, basically, that the Ferguson Police Department was horribly and irretrievably racist and basically was a pretext for the federal government taking over a local police force. Here to talk to us about that report, somebody who has a little bit of knowledge on this. He's written extensively about it. He was a former chief economist for the United States Sentencing Commission. He is now the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, John Lott. John, welcome to the program.
Great to talk to you again.
John, I really appreciated your article. It was the first time I saw anybody take this thing on in a head-on way. Attorney General Eric Holder told us right after he became the Attorney General that we were cowards, that Americans are cowards because they don't want to have a frank discussion about race. So let's have a frank discussion. You're an economist. What do the numbers tell us about race in America today?
About generally or with regard to the
Well, Ferguson crime case? And Ferguson and, yeah.
Well, I mean, the report that was released really doesn't tell us much of anything. Look, the game that the Obama administration seems to be playing is if they can find some difference, then that automatically implies racism exists. So
this
for
is
example,
the disparate treatment comments?
Right, exactly. So, but look, I could point out that if you look at the rate at which men are stopped for traffic violations relative to women, men are 42% more likely to be pulled over for a traffic stop than women are. Does that mean that cops are sexist against men? You know, I don't think so. I think it probably means that men tend to speed relatively more and do other types of traffic violations, and that's the reason why they get pulled over. And the same issue arises with the evidence that the Obama administration put together in Ferguson. Their big claim is that while 67% of Ferguson's population is black, they say 85% of the vehicle stops for traffic violations involve black. So they say, look, there's the difference. It's 85 to 76. That's proof of racism. The problem is, for example, we know nationally that blacks are 31% more likely to face traffic stops than whites are. Now, could it be that blacks are just being discriminated against nationally? Sure, but the point of this report from the Obama administration was that Ferguson is basically a hotbed of racism when it comes to the police department. And if you take the national numbers, that blacks are 31% more likely to be stopped for traffic violations than whites, and apply that to Ferguson, that implies over 87% of those stops for traffic stops should be blacks, whereas it's 85. So it's actually Ferguson is slightly less likely to stop a black for a traffic violation than cops nationwide. So either the rest of the United States is worse than Ferguson, or Ferguson at worst is no worse, but that's not the argument that they were making. They were saying this is much worse than the rest of the nation.
So wait a minute. As an economist, when you look at the numbers, what I hear you saying is, as an economist, that actually Ferguson is less likely statistically to pull over a black for the same thing they might be pulled over somewhere else.
Exactly.
So that instead of it being this hotbed of racism, if you look at it as an economist, not a political operative trying to advance a narrative, you don't come to the conclusion that Ferguson is racist, you actually come to the conclusion that they might be a little bit more sensitive than other police departments on the issue of race.
Or it could simply be that blacks in that area speed a little bit less relative to blacks nationwide. I mean, it's not... Here's the problem, and that is, one, well, there's two levels. You have to prove that there's disparate treatment. Disparate treatment doesn't mean that people... So I could pull over people for exactly the same reasons. If you speed, I'll pull you over. Now, men speed more, so they get pulled over more. So that doesn't prove that men are being treated differently. That's what disparate treatment means. Disparate treatment means that two people are treated differently. So simply saying that men are pulled over more frequently than women isn't enough by itself to prove disparate treatment. You have to have something more. And then to go to racism, you have to show that that disparate treatment was motivated by somebody's sex or race or whatever it is that's there. They don't prove anything. They don't prove that there's disparate treatment, because, as I say, it could just simply be because, and we know from other many other reports that blacks tend to speed more frequently. They die in auto accidents at twice the rate of the rest of the population. And if you look at those who die in traffic accidents, for example, drivers who die are much more likely than any other racial group to have a history of speeding and other moving violations.
Folks, it's John Lotti, the president of Crime Research Center. He's got an article over at the New York Post. We're just about out of time, but what I hear you saying over and over again is basically, as an economist, the numbers just don't back up anything that the Department of Justice is alleging.
Right. The numbers that we could go through, their discussions about arrest warrants and other things, none of those prove what they say. Here's the problem. They don't even try really hard to prove anything. All they say is, look, blacks are more likely to be stopped than whites, therefore that proves discrimination. But they have to prove that they're treated differently. That's what caused it. They don't do it. And then the only evidence that they have of racism are 7 emails that they have over at least a 7-year period of time. It could be much longer, but they don't tell us the length of time, that involve what appear to be distasteful, derogatory comments regarding women, regarding Muslims, regarding mixed-race people, regarding President Obama or Michelle, involving blacks. And those are bad emails, and people should have been reprimanded and shamed for doing it if the Department of Justice described those correctly. But they don't even tell us, is it one person out of the 70 or so who worked at the department, at the police department over those 7 years? Is it 2 officers? And they don't explain simple things like, well, why did all those bad emails stop in 2011? Why didn't we see any in 2012, 13, 14? Is it because those officers were told that that was improper? Is it because they were fired or let go? But if it's 1 or 2 officers, and they know this information, they could go and say, you know, how many officers were involved in this. They don't mention that at all. But
yeah, John, we're up against a hard break. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. We're out of time. Folks, John Lott, check out the article. Don't go away. We'll be right back.